I hope you'll be with us this coming Friday morning at 10 o'clock at our Crawford Family Forum. Air Talk is live in front of an in-person audience. We have a terrific panel of political analysts who'll be joining us, including our star Libby Dankman, politics reporter for KPCC. We'll be at the Crawford, and after we're off the air at 11 o'clock when Film Week starts, we'll have a little private Q&A where you as a member of the live audience can ask some questions of our experts as well. The event, of course, is free. You can RSVP at kpecc.org/in-person. That's coming up this Friday, 10 o'clock hour of Air Talk, right here at KPECC. Well, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced this morning he's suspending his presidential campaign. He strongly endorsed Joe Biden, indicated he will work on behalf of Biden's efforts to take the Democratic nomination. But the question is, with Bloomberg's vast wealth, what kinds of resources can he actually put into Biden's campaign? Or with specific campaign finance laws, is it going to be difficult for him to put either cash or in-kind support behind Biden's candidacy? With us from Capital University, Columbus, Ohio, professor of law and expert in election law and campaign finance, Bradley Smith. Professor, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's my pleasure.
So what are the things that Mike Bloomberg can do, and what sorts of limits are placed on him?
Sure. The primary thing he can do is independent expenditures that would support Biden or conceivably some other candidate, but presumably Biden, or criticize Trump. Now, these would have to be things he can't coordinate with the Biden campaign, and the FEC has very detailed rules on what constitutes coordination. But basically, he can't talk to the campaign about their priorities and strategize with them and do anything that they specifically request him to do. On the other hand, it doesn't take a lot of brains to know what are the most competitive states, what are the issues in the campaign. So if he does independent expenditures, he can pretty much spend to his heart's content whatever more money he wants to put into the effort. He can do that. He cannot give very much money directly to the Biden campaign. In that, he is limited as an individual to $2,800 in the primary and $2,800 in the general election. And his campaign organization that is left could give $1,000 to Biden. But so not very much in direct money that he can give to Biden to spend, but he can spend whatever his heart chooses in independent ads supporting Biden.
I'd ask what you know about the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, except that Professor Smith was the chairman of the commission just about 16 years ago, and he served on the Federal Election Commission from 2000 to 2005. So no one more expert on this that we could have on this segment of Air Talk. Those independent expenditures, does that take the form of a super PAC, as they're called, or something else? What's the vehicle?
Well, there's a lot of interesting twist to this. He can essentially just convert his campaign committee into a super PAC and spend it in that form, or he could give the money to another super PAC or create a super PAC for that purpose that might take contributions from other people. But he also, just as an individual, can spend. He can just spend it, and the ad would say at the bottom, paid for by Michael Bloomberg, right, as opposed to Michael Bloomberg 2020, which is the name of his campaign committee. So he's got a couple of different choices there in how he wants to do it. You know, the other interesting thing about this, though, of course, is that whether Bloomberg spends money to buy ads and so on is important. But remember, he also owns a news network, and his news network can report on the campaign however it wants. And so there's sort of an interesting dynamic here. By dropping out as a candidate, he gives up his right to have the lowest unit advertising rate. Political candidates are guaranteed the lowest rate being charged by the station for the type of ad that they're running and the time it's on and how easily it can be preempted and so on. And super PACs often have to pay 20, 30, even as much as 100% more for ads because they have going market rate, right? So he loses that advantage. He's going to have to spend more as if he runs as a super PAC. But the plus he gets is that Bloomberg Media, because he's not a candidate, Bloomberg Media is now free to editorialize and shape the news and so on, however it chooses, without worrying that it would be accused of somehow participating in the campaign. You know, the press is not considered campaign contributions unless the press organization is owned by a candidate. So when Bloomberg owns Bloomberg Media, he's got to be very careful about what the company says. You know, when he's a candidate, he's got to be very careful about what the company says about Trump or Democrats. But by no longer being a candidate, Bloomberg Media can basically say whatever they want and not worry about that.
Of course, Bloomberg News has to be concerned about its credibility. So there is that business aspect to how they cover the race also.
Right, you bet. Obviously, there's credibility concerns, with the press, but, you know, they have opinion pages for one in the most obvious sense. And even within that, we do know that, you know, the media can choose what stories to highlight and how to present the news. And this has often been a topic of conversation. Typically, of course, we see it when people who are losing complain that the media is not being fair to them. But the fact that they're losing doesn't mean there may not be some truth in what is said. You know, obviously, the media is very influential. But you're quite right. Clearly, you know, that's limited by the ability to keep a viable business model over the long term. I don't see any indication that he wants to destroy Bloomberg Media.
Professor Smith, can you think of any precedent for this? Setting aside the media part of it, that I can't imagine anything that would be a precedent there. But in terms of a candidate dropping out, using personal wealth to support a former competitor?
Not in this way. It's not uncommon for candidates when they drop out to sometimes use some of their remaining funds to make small contributions. And again, they're limited by law to make small contributions, maybe to other candidates still in the race or in down ballot races. But the idea of somebody who has the potential, again, to continue spending, you know, tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars, that's not something that we've seen very often in the past. And obviously, he remains, therefore, a very major player in American politics and in this particular presidential race.
Does the Citizens United U.S. Supreme Court decision play any role here?
Surprisingly, it plays no direct role here. I say surprisingly because people often think it's responsible for sort of everything. Going back to an earlier case called Buckley v. Valeo, which is from 1976, in that case, the Supreme Court held that an individual had a right to spend as much as he wanted on his own candidacy or in independent expenditures supporting someone else. So since Bloomberg has this money as an individual, his right to do this pre-existed Citizens United. What Citizens United says is simply that a corporation or a union can also engage in these kinds of independent expenditures. So, you know, Bloomberg doesn't, as a wealthy individual, doesn't really need Citizens United to do this. I will say, though, that since Citizens United, I think that's created a little bit more of a, we might call it a can-do spirit among spenders, people feeling that this is a way I can spend my money, and independent spending has gone up in the post-Citizens United world.
What are you going to find most interesting, you know, to talk about with your students and to study in the future with what Bloomberg does here?
Well, I think it shows the way that the laws often have unintended consequences that we don't really think of at the time. And I think it also shows that money, and Tom Steyer shows this too, that money is necessary to campaigning. You need to have money to get in the game, to get your message out. But ultimately, it is not a sufficient condition to win. In the end, I think, you know, Bloomberg's message just didn't resonate with enough Democratic primary voters. And so he's got a lot of money down the drain. But I think if he spends a lot of money attacking President Trump, that probably will resonate much more with Democratic Party voters and reestablish his good graces in the party.
Bill in the San Gabriel Valley says with all the data at Bloomberg's disposal, he might be able to help the nominee do targeted advertising or even targeted campaign rallies, critical voting areas, especially where the electoral map is concerned. We hear, Professor Smith, a lot about the advanced data available to the Bloomberg campaign and the team that he's got. How significant do you think that is potentially helping Biden?
Well, this can be very helpful to him in doing independent expenditures. But remember, they can't just turn this information over to the Biden campaign. That's an in-kind contribution, and those are subject to very low limits, just a couple $1,000s. And this information, if it's really valuable, is worth a lot more than that. So, again, the information is very valuable perhaps to Mr. Bloomberg in deciding how he would want to conduct an independent expenditure campaign. But he can't just hand it over to the Biden campaign and say, here you go, guys, you know, give it your best shot.
Bradley Smith, good to have you with us today. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Professor at Capital University, Columbus, Ohio, professor of law, expert in election law, so much so that he was the chairman of the Federal Election Commission back in mid-2000s. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti will be with us momentarily, back in just 1 minute.